epiphany. Don't settle for less. That's the message this morning. How exciting, huh? Epiphany is a Christian feast celebrated by many churches, a lot of people. It's set 12 days after Christmas. So this year and every year, it's on January 6th. Epiphany. I believe that the Bible teaches us that we need to have epiphanies often in our lives, and I'm going to endeavor to encourage you with that. I know that we don't call them by that name, but when Shane said God spoke to him and he was shown something for his business, he had an epiphany. So it's something that happens in our lives, and a lot of times we're not really aware of these epiphanies from the Lord. The Feast of Epiphany commemorates the wise men finding the baby Jesus and acknowledging that he was divine. They knelt in the presence of the Lord. Matthew 2, verse 11. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. Back in verse 2, they came to Jerusalem and they asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews?" So before they ever saw him, they believed that he was born to be the Jews' king. They had an epiphany of that knowledge. When they came to him, they showed him the honor reserved for royalty. They bowed down before him. They had the epiphany of his birth long before they came to him. As this Christ child king was made known to them, it was the first revelation to Gentiles of the Savior. That's big, folks, because we're Gentiles. For us to be acknowledged at his birth, God let them know that this Savior was going to be born. You're finding Jesus as your Savior is an epiphany, and really the greatest epiphany you probably ever have. An epiphany is actually a revelation of the divine. Any time that God is revealed to you, any time Jesus is made known to you, any time the Holy Spirit is revealed to you in your own personal heart and life, that's an epiphany. It's a time of the Lord being made known, a moment when God's divine presence is manifested, made known. In one dictionary, it was described this way: a spiritual flash that would change the way I viewed myself. Usually when we have an epiphany, it changes things in our lives. You may not have thought about it, but every one of you, if you're saved, you've had an epiphany. God has been made known to you, made real to you. Hopefully you'll be able to recognize more and more the times that he's revealing himself to you after today. You'll think a little bit more about it. The first epiphany in our lives, and the most important one, of course, was when we acknowledged Jesus Christ as our Savior and we repented of our sins. Acts 3:19. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. A time of refreshing. I like the way the Bible says that. When his presence is made known to you, it refreshes you. makes you over new. For some people, the moment that they found the Lord was very dynamic and emotionally charged. When you got saved, was it that way for you? Was it a very moving moment? There's one, two, three. Yeah. For me, it was something that I couldn't put into words. But oh, what a feeling. And then there are some, they don't have any super sensation. They just know that their sins are forgiven. So even though they don't feel like they could say, oh, I had a great flash or anything like that, they know that they know Jesus took their sins away. So they had an epiphany. At that moment, we were reborn spiritually, became a new person. The divine was made real to us, and there came into our lives the refreshing from the presence of the Lord. And you don't have to stop there. As you live for Him, these times of refreshing come again and again. A lot of times, it's up to us to entertain them. Your epiphanies will often be different, but each one will make God's presence real to you in some way, refresh you. I'm going to read you a story about a child and the epiphany that this child had, and this was written by Libby Adams. My first experience of God's presence in my life occurred when I was 6 years old. My mother had put me to bed and gone downstairs. Lying quietly on my cot, I suddenly sensed an unusual peacefulness settle around me, and I began to hum a song I'd learned in Sunday school. As I hummed, I felt a love so profound that it removed all fear of anything bad ever happening. Everything seemed at peace in my heart and in my world. That loving presence stayed with me until I drifted off to sleep. From that time on, whenever I felt the need for solitude, I would crawl onto the tall pile of quilts folded on a chair in the corner of the bedroom, sit with my back against the wall. At that age, I couldn't have explained it in words, but somehow God was in the stillness of that little room, gently making Himself known to me. Now, as a busy adult with lots of responsibilities, it's hard to make time to quiet my mind and wait for that presence. Sometimes I wish I could crawl back up on those quilts and sit with my back against the wall, listening to the rain on the tin roof of our house and hear God speak to me in every peaceful drop. Stillness doesn't come as easily as it did when I was young. The distractions were fewer then. But if I want to know love, patience, tolerance, forgiveness of myself and others, if I want to grow spiritually, I have to make the effort to rediscover that refreshing that comes in the presence of the Lord. And so I say sometimes we have to put ourselves in a situation or a place where He can touch us. If we're just go, 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 it's very hard for the Lord to make Himself known to us. After hearing this story, I'm sure you're thinking of many times you probably have had an epiphany like that. You can't put it into words, just like this person couldn't. And you probably never said, oh, I got an epiphany. And probably after this morning, you won't say that either. But you will know. God has made Himself known to me. It's an epiphany. Years ago, I don't even remember where, but it was in some church, and it was a communion service. And the song, The Old Rugged Cross, we began to sing it. And during that time, I looked up to the windows there in that church, and singing that song, I had an epiphany. Jesus was so real, and his death for me was so real to me at that time. It was a wonderful epiphany. And I know that as I relate this to you, and I can't put it into words, you know, because you've had times where he's known to you. He's known to you. Here one time, probably 3 years ago, I asked the pastor to play "I Give You My All." You remember that, don't you, Taco? God gave him an epiphany in that song. And he asked me later to have it, you know. These times are so precious and so meaningful in your life. It's like you have a new, refreshing strength to go on for the Lord. So I'm encouraging you to look for them through these times are very personal. And you know, we often have them when we're worshiping with others. This is a time that I think most often they will happen. We're told in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. How many epiphanies do you miss by not being in church? I wonder. When we gather together to worship the Lord, we'll often experience his presence. Because here we are all together, entertaining him, wanting him to come and meet us here. God reveals himself to us. Paul calls it being refreshed together in Romans 15:32. Or is it 14? Nope. I'm not there yet. Here we are. So that by God's will I may come to you with joy and together with you be refreshed. Be refreshed together. I love worshiping with you. I love this sense of God making himself real to us. The epiphany that we have. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. He's here. He's in this place. And he wants to reveal himself to us. God wants to be made known to us. I want to talk a little bit about the Apostle Paul and his initial epiphany, Acts 9, 1 through 6. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. And as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city. You'll be told what you must do." Now that's a very, very dynamic awakening epiphany when Jesus Christ made himself known to Saul, who later became the Apostle Paul. He wasn't planning on it. He wasn't trying to entertain the presence of the Lord, but he was trying to do God's work. He thought killing Christians was God's work. And God, so gracious, so full of mercy, woke him up. And made himself known to him. Sent him to one of the Christian saints there in Damascus, Ananias, and Ananias prayed over him. That moment when Jesus made himself known to Paul, he was blind. And he was blind until he went in and had Ananias pray for him. Maybe some of you have had a time in your life where the Lord made himself that real to you, as he did to Paul. But it's important to realize he can come to you when you're not looking for him too. When you're not expecting, you know, Shane was not expecting an epiphany, and he got one. God revealed to him something he needed to know. It's great, isn't it? Let's talk about the upper room, the epiphany in the upper room. Going to church really needs to be a part of our life for saints to get together. On the day of Pentecost, the church was born when believers gathered in the upper room, and God gave them the epiphany that they never had experienced before in their lives. I think sometimes we do wrong by looking for the same blessing, the same anointing, the same way that God moved on us before. God gives great varieties of making himself known to people. Remember those in the upper room, you know, they had walked and talked with Jesus in the flesh. They had known the Son of God in the flesh, known him well. One of those gathered in the upper room was his mother. And they knew that they were waiting for his presence because he was told so. When the Holy Spirit came upon them and filled them, it was a very great epiphany, a revelation of God the Father, Jesus the Son, come to live in them. The Holy Spirit filled them. We've seen by that little story I read about that child, and we know from our own lives, the Lord makes himself known to us in many different ways and in many different places. We need to seek him and ask him to reveal himself to us. If your spirit's not right, if you're depressed, you're downtrodden, you can ask him, as David did, "Oh God, renew a right spirit in me. Renew a right spirit in me." So you can be receptive. If your thoughts are confused and troubling, you can be renewed in your minds, according to Ephesians 4:23, Romans 12:2. Your mind can be renewed, refreshed, awakened by the Lord. When we ask for his help, he touches us and he changes us. Those are epiphanies. Be sensitive. Be sensitive to the Lord. And do not take for granted his moving in your life. We had a fairly young woman who came to the Lord in California when I worked in the office of the church there. And her name was Suzette. And she would say all the time, "God showed me this. God told me that. God had me go here. God told me to talk to this one or that one." And a little old lady came and helped me in the office one day a week. And she'd been a Christian for years and years and years. And she said, "Why is it that Suzette always is saying that? You know, she's always saying, 'God told me this. God showed me that. And God led me this and that.'" And she said, "I don't get it. You know, I don't get it." And I said, "Lola, it's because we're old Christians, not old age, but old Christians. We've been a Christian a long time. and we get to taking it for granted. I know God's going to lead me. I know God's going to guide me. I know when he puts someone in my path to talk to about the Lord, that it is an epiphany. But we get to taking him for granted because we live for him and because he does these things and because we know he is. We're not like Suzette. God led me here. God did. And you know, I think maybe we should wake up to epiphanies. I think maybe we should just become more aware in our lives that God is making himself known in this situation. You get that free. Don't settle for less. When Jesus was born, the first people to be shown his divinity were the shepherds. In Christendom, we celebrate the Magi being shown the divine nature of Jesus, and sometimes we tend to dwell more on that than on the shepherds because they were Gentiles. And that, of course, is a thrill to us. The Jews looked for Emmanuel. They looked for him to be born, God with us, Emmanuel, but they refused to acknowledge him when he was born. But the Gentiles, the wise men from the east, knelt down in his presence and worshiped him. They had a striking revelation that this was the King of the Jews sent by God. They read it, they studied it, they learned it, and then they believed it. And when they came before him, they had the epiphany of knowing. They knelt before the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Imagine what they felt. This baby in front of us is born King of the Jews. Looks like an impossibility at that time. God's Son. Wow. Now, as he touches you, whether in a quiet corner or when you look upon one of the wonders of his creation, that gives us epiphanies, or hear a bird sing, or in church moved by a hymn or a chorus or even a prayer, maybe even a sermon. Let your soul, your mind, be refreshed. Praise him for blessing you. And epiphany. Go ahead and have epiphanies. Don't miss them. God bless you this morning, and may his word rest in your hearts this week. May you be strengthened and encouraged. And know, each time these little miracles happen, he's making himself known to you. Acknowledge that and say, thanks, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God bless you.